Have your Bibles tonight, Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. We're looking tonight, now if you remember, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, present your bodies a living sacrifice, began this section, chapter 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 14 can only be done by really the most godly Christians. And you'll see what I mean when we get down to the bottom of the chapter. But I want you to notice in verse number 12, where we left off last week, you'll notice he says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. What is he speaking about? In verse 10, the subject of verses 10 through 23 is really about judgment. Now, the way a word is used in context makes all the difference. This particular word used in verse number 10, why dost thou judge thy brother, is the word krino. It's the word used to make a decision. It's the one to weigh things out. So whenever it's used about to judge your brother, it really is saying you're looking at your brother, and there's another word with the prefix on it, katakrino, which is to condemn them. And that's what his specific definition of the word judge here is, don't judge down people. Now, notice, if you would, in verse number 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? There's the context. In other words, when you look at someone, you devalue that person. In other words, you use the word in such a way, or the word is meant whenever you're judging someone, that you would analyze them and make them of less value in your mind. Now, we can do that one or two or three ways, but I want to give you the way we do it. For instance, let's say you say, I hate something. The other day, I'm doing laundry, and I left out a towel, and I hate to leave something out and have to, you know, to stop the washer and throw it in. And so I look at it, and I say, man, I forgot that towel. That's not the definition of the word hate. The word hate is when you look at something and you despise it. I didn't hate the towel. But the context tells you I was displeased that I forgot. I don't hate me. But we use words in certain contexts. So when he says here, don't judge your brother. Now, if you were to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says a righteous man judgeth all things. So what does he mean? Well, he means that, and that word, the original word is anakrino, it is, he's able to see through things spiritually. A righteous man judges all things. So it's not that you're looking to devalue someone, you're looking to come to a spiritual decision about something. So whether it is a decision that's to be made, you're trying to anakrino that decision, you're trying to make the decision that would honor the Lord. But you're not trying to devalue it. Now, you might be, and that would be the word to judge negatively, and that's what he's about this passage. Don't judge to set someone at naught. Notice verse number 10. Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Why do you consider him not as good as yourself? There's a lot of people that claim to be spiritual, and this is one of their weaknesses. They judge people. And so, well, he doesn't do as good as I do on this. A preacher, he doesn't preach as good as I do on this. Or he doesn't explain this as good as I can do. Or a basketball player, well, he's not as good as I am. I can shoot better than he can. I can do better than. So that's what he's speaking about right here. Now, the only way that can happen is if we commit one of two sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. In order to make a judgment, you have to start with some value. So he says, look, don't look at someone and compare yourself to them and say, oh, they're less than I am. That's what he's speaking about. Don't set at naught thy brother. And he reminds us, he says, don't you realize you're going to stand before God too? You know what he's saying? We're all going to be judged. Now, remember, the judgment seat of Christ is not the great white throne. Big difference. The great white throne, Revelation 20, everyone there is on their way to hell. They're lost. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. There are no saved Christians, sinners, at the great white throne judgment. They all run from the face of the Lord, the Bible says. But the judgment seat of Christ is only for Christians. It's to reward us, and the intention is to take your life, judge it according to the standard of God, according to the will of God for your life. So I'm not running the same race as John or Kevin or Eddie here. I'm running the race against me and my flesh, everyone here. So he says, don't you look at John and judge him and set him at naught when you compare himself to yourself. Don't do that. He said, because we're all going to stand before the Lord. So notice verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand. Now, who's all? That's Christians. The book Romans is written to Christians. He says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And notice in verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to the Lord, to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God based upon the standard of God, not based upon each other. That's the reason the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, don't compare, comparing yourselves among themselves, they're not wise. And he tells us at the end of the chapter, verse 19, the Lord is the judge. He's the one that we're going to stand before. So the first thing we don't use is the standard of each other. You don't use the standard of judgment of me as your standard or you as my standard. He says, don't do that. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 13. This is where we begin tonight. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. Now, that is for comparison purposes. So we don't judge each other for comparison purposes. We don't judge each other for the purpose of setting someone at naught, of making them where we feel we're better than them. Now, comparing themselves among themselves is one thing. Am I as good as they are? Or are they as good as I am? That's one way to judge. Another way to judge is always looking for things that you can devalue somebody for. Well, they don't sing as loud as I do. He doesn't teach with his heart in it. Or they don't sing the way, or they don't play the piano, or they don't get, they're not as faithful in the choir as what they ought to be. So it's not comparative, it's condemning. And you and I have to be careful of either of those evaluations. And that's what he said, let us not judge each other anymore. Now, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he is judged of no man. You know why? Because he's making decisions on what can make his life better. He's looking at situations. He's looking at people. He's looking at circumstances. He's looking at decisions to make his life where he stands before the Lord pleasing to God. And that's really what chapter 14 is about. There was a lot of critical nature of judging each other in the Roman church, this early church. Notice with me back over to Romans 14, if you would. Notice this. And then notice what was happening. Look in verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this. In other words, decide this. Think through this. Okay? Rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, there were a few things that caused stumbling blocks in this day. Meat that was offered to idols was a big stumbling block. Special days of set aside for God, worship days. Well, he doesn't recognize Easter, so he is not a very good Christian. Or he does not recognize Christmas, so he is not a very good Christian. Remember this. what they're doing here is they had special days. It's the full moon. Let's worship God on the full moon. Well, he's not worshiping God on the full moon. He's not a very good Christian. The Lord said this, When your church has a service, you ought to be there. Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together. It doesn't say that you go one time a week, five times. It says when your church has a service, you ought to be there. Now, the idea is, I think you go to a church where you can have multiple services so you can learn something each time so that you can be more like Christ the longer you walk with the Lord. So notice, if you would, he says this. He said in verse number 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him is unclean. So he said, look, if there's a lamb that's offered to the god Ashtaroth or Baal or whatever it might be, the sun god, then if you see that as something that you ought not to eat, he says, well, then don't eat it. Okay? So, but don't condemn the guy that does eat it, because notice what he says here. He said in verse number 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. So if I say there's nothing wrong with me eating meat, this meat that's offered to an idol or meat that's sold at this place or that place, because the best meat was the meat offered to gods. To Jehovah God, that was the best meat. To the various gods around town, that was the best meat. So there was this great judgment going on, and who went to the shambles? Shambles were the meat shops outside. What Christians go to the shambles? And he said, look, there's two things about it. Number one, you should not judge that person that is going to eat meat at the shambles. But number two, if you know somebody is going to trip over that, they're going to say, well, you know, I'm not sure I haven't made a decision. You know, I just got saved. I'm trying to decide, should I eat the meat? Should I not eat the meat? And it was a big thing. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and you'll see how big a thing it was. Notice in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 8, but meat commendeth us not to God. Now, so take a look at that. Notice that, okay? The size of your Bible does not commend you to God. The color of your Bible does not commend you to God. So notice what he says here. He said, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, I could say, the more spiritual you are, the closer to the front you sit. But it'd be bad for Brother Dave, one of our deacons back there, Brother Matt over here, or back there in the back for Brother Rob. I mean, understand, there are reasons that people sit. Oh, yeah, the chairman of deacons sit on the very back row with his head up against the back as far as he can get. So you look at it and say, what is this thing here now? You understand this. You and I don't look because it's not up to us. Now, I like for people to sit near the front, but I don't think the most spiritual people sit near the front necessarily. They could. Well, they could sit in the back because they're on security, or they're doing this, or they came in late, or they had something, their car broke down, they ran in. So he's saying here, don't lay a stumbling block for someone, even though it makes sense to you. Notice, if you would, in verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So there's a lot of things that Christian liberty allows us to do that we ought not to do. If someone sees us and they know that, then, you know, hey, look, I don't know about that guy. Now, I have a TV in my house. There are some people who don't believe in TVs, but there are some people who don't believe in coffee or whatever else. I mean, I don't really believe in coffee either. I just have to drink it for my throat, but I hate coffee. But I don't down people that drink coffee. Now, notice this. If there's a show that I watch, now I have some filters on my TV, or I wouldn't have a TV, because there's so much junk on TV, and so you have to be careful. So if I didn't have a filter, ClearPlay, TV Guardian, I would not watch TV. Because I don't watch, if they curse on TV, I just turn the channel. But if I were to watch a movie with ClearPlay, how many know what ClearPlay is? Let me see your hand. If you don't know what it is, it's a great tool. Well, you can watch an R-rated movie in 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Just depends. I mean, you may not get all the gist of the story, but you won't hear anything bad, so that's a good thing. But I don't look at it, and I don't get up in church and say, I watched so-and-so movie, because you know what would happen? Somebody say, he watched that? Well, I didn't see all that stuff. I didn't hear all that. I don't go to the movies for that reason, because there's not a button to click it off. So my point to you is that we have to be very careful what we see and judge other people. I'm standing for the Lord for me. I have the liberty to do a lot of things, but remember this, you will stand before God. So there's a lot of things I don't do because I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to lay something down. The word stumbling block here is like a chair with one little leg. It's out of the way. How many have ever here wrapped your toe around a chair leg? Anybody done that? Oh, is that painful? And you're going through and you're not paying attention. You wrap your toe. Well, you know, a lot of times Christians leave stumbling blocks around. How many ever heard somebody that you looked up to and respect use a filthy word or a bad word? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Good night. Raise it up. What does that do for your respect to them? Hard. Hard to respect them. That's not what he's talking about here. Wrong is always wrong. What he's talking about is things that a Christian might or might not do. Now, for years, I only wore white shirts. Anybody know why? No one is. It's the most spiritual. No, it's not. It didn't matter what color my shirt was, but it was easy. You can go to your closet and there's 13 white shirts. You just got the next one. It was real simple. And then my wife changed the colors of them, and I said, oh, no. Now you got to get that shirt with that tie and that suit. And it was just work to get dressed. So, you know, I'd go in my closet, and I it just really easy. One morning, you go in there and just grab a white shirt, put it on. Well, when I started wearing a colored shirt, and this is a little bit colored, a little bit brown and white, and somebody come and say, Pastor, wow. You must be getting into the new age. Wow. What are you talking about? I mean, the color of your shirt. I didn't think about it. Now, if the color of my shirt offended somebody, then I wouldn't wear it. But if that's what he's talking about, things that you have the liberty to do. He's not saying things you have the liberty to do that are wrong. He's saying things you have the liberty to do, but you want to make sure they're right before the Lord and that they're not offensive to someone else. So now notice with me, if you would, he says in verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians 8, listen to this word, this passage, and this will strike to the heart of the matter. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So if you know something is offensive to someone, you don't do it. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, right, whatever, you don't do it, period. Because you're not here to please yourself, you're here to please others. He said, well, Pastor, how far do you carry that? As well, Paul said, if eating meat causes my brother to offend, I'll become a vegetarian. That's pretty far. So if someone, how many of you ever raised your voice or your tone and someone was offended by the way you did it and you didn't mean it that way, but you did it? How many have ever done something like that? Raise your hand, okay? You know what you have to do? You have to back up and say, well, I shouldn't do that anymore because I don't want to be an offense. So your life begins to take on a new life because you're trying to honor the Lord and you're trying not to lay a stumbling block down in front of someone else. So the attitude you have, it may be okay for you. You don't mean anything by it, but if it comes across to someone else wrong, you got to change it. That's what he's speaking about. If eating meat causes my brother to offend, I'll eat no meat. There are some people that are so negative. I mean, and when I say that, they just never have any joy. They're just kind of miserable to be around. I think that person's got to grow in the Lord some. All of us are. You think of the Spirit-filled life, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, graciousness, meekness, kindness. That doesn't describe someone that sits there and always finds the worst in everything. So I don't know that it's right, but we don't look at someone as he's not a very good Christian because he doesn't smile. But he's talking about here things that are right that all of us could do, but some things are better to do. So good, better, and best, all of us in this room, we want to learn to do the very best of things. But if you know something causes an offense to your mate or someone else, don't do it. because you're a Christian. Now notice back over Romans chapter 14, in verse number 15, notice what he says. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. He said, if you're doing something that grieves somebody, you're not walking in love. Notice, if you would, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Don't ruin the heart of a young Christian. Now, keep in mind, when we speak about weak Christians, a weak Christian could be one of different things. Number one, a brand new Christian, someone that just got saved, that hasn't grown much. It could be an old Christian that's never grown at all. It could be a Christian that had grown a good deal, and got hurt and stopped growing. So you'll notice here he says, if there's something that you do that trips up another Christian, then look at it and say, Lord, I'll give that to you. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. A great mantra for all of us in this room. If there's something that you do that you can improve on, do it. Well, Pastor, we could all improve. Yes, you're right. And we'll have a better standing when we stand before the Lord. The question is, are we willing to change to be more like Christ and non-offensive to others? That's really what this passage is all about. Notice with me, if you would, he said in verse number 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about what you ate or didn't eat or drank or didn't drink. Notice this. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, those are the characteristics that really matter. What is your life like? Is it filled with the Spirit of God? Is the fruit of the Spirit of God flowing through your life? Have you yielded the Holy Spirit and said, Lord, grow me into the Christian you want me to be? Help me to have a joyful heart. Help me to be pleasant to people, kind. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. No one is ever disapproved because they're kind. No one is ever disapproved because they're forgiving. They're gracious. No one's disapproved because you have the Spirit of God in your life. And so he says, look, all of us, I want you to grow in Christ. And he's talking to these Roman Christians because they've been condemning each other for things. Keep in mind, they all just got saved pretty well at the same time. And they're growing in the Lord, but they came from a horrendous background of idol worship and immorality in worship. And they're giving those things up. He's not talking about that. He's talking about, well, if you offer to an idol, you used to offer to an idol and you got saved, you know that idol is nothing. You can eat that meat. But if you're going to cause an offense to someone you'd like to win to Christ or to a new Christian, don't do it. So there are lots of things that I'm not going to do, not because they're wrong necessarily, but because they might offend someone. Now, notice with me if you would. He says, verse 19, let us therefore follow after things that make for peace. That's what every one of us should do. Follow after things that make for peace. Every one of us. It's not that we're always trying to find the negative so we create an issue. Anybody can do that. But only the spiritual can follow things that make for peace. You remember in the Beatitudes, he says, a peacemaker is of great value. Someone, that's what it's describing right here. It's things that the Spirit of God works through us, taps on our heart and says, Dave Peepman, you need to add this to your life. You need to let me work through your life to make you more pleasant to people, to make you more loving to people, to make you less judgmental to people. It doesn't mean that I'm supposed to stop evaluating friends and not friends and things that I ought to do and ought not to do, but I evaluate them not based upon what somebody else does, but on what the Lord Jesus wants. Now notice, if you would, he said in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. So if anything causes your brother to stumble, what you eat, what you drink, don't do it. That's what he's saying. Or is offended or is made weak. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is the man. Now, here's the alternative. Here's the opposite side of this passage. God says, I want you to be comfortable in your own skin. That's what he's saying right here. Notice, happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. How many have ever done something and you sort of beat yourself up for doing it? Oh, I should have said that. I should have done that. And it wasn't wrong necessarily, but you're just beating yourself up. He said, happy is the man that doesn't do that. You don't beat yourself up. I'll give you an example. Now, I think everybody ought to have their devotions regularly. I don't think that's an option. I think you ought to have them daily. Maybe two or three times a day you pray and talk with the Lord. We're in constant prayer. But how much should you read? Some people, let's say they read the Bible through in a year. That's great. Some people read the New Testament through in a year. What you get out of it is what's important. Does the Holy Spirit speak to your heart? Now, I don't know that it'd be best for you to sit down and read one verse and say, okay, I read my devotions this morning. I don't think that's what the Lord intends for us to do whenever we're to take the Word of God and add it to our life and study it day by day. But my point to you is this, it's not up to me to judge you at what you read, how much you read. Now, I wouldn't know, but I switch my devotions up. One year I may read the Bible through the Bible through. I may read the New Testament through in a week. I may read the Old Testament through in a month. I might, I'm going a different plan, two different plans this year. I just try different things to keep it fresh and sweet. A new Christian, they have a one-year Bible out that I've given to new Christians because it takes the Bible and breaks it up and gives you a daily reading. On January 1st, you read this. January 2nd, you read that to get them in the habit of spending time with the Lord every day. You don't have a good relationship with your wife if you don't speak to her every day, and your husband if you don't talk with each other every day, if you don't fellowship every day, son. And you can't have a good relationship with the great God of heaven if you don't take time each day and say, Lord, could I talk with you? But let's say, for instance, you're reading and you read six chapters in a day on normal and you only read five. He says, don't beat yourself up about it. Unless you'd put something else in place of the Lord in that fifth one, where you didn't read the sixth one. What he's trying to get us to understand is you and I do what we feel like we can stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done. That's the rule. Notice with me, if you would, verse 23. He that doubteth, oh, should I do this? Should I not done that? Should I not have done that? I don't know what I should have done this or should have not done that. Is damned if he eats. In other words, he has cursed himself if he eats. Oh, if I shouldn't have eaten that meat that was offered to Ashtaroth. I shouldn't have eaten that. But it was. I don't know if it's anything wrong with it, but I shouldn't eat it. He says, look, you've cursed yourself if you do that because he eateth not of faith. Everything that we do is faith that it pleases the Lord. Now, we don't just pick something out, but we pray about it and leave it up to the Lord and say, Lord, is this pleasing to you? We work at the things of our life to make us more like Christ. Everyone here, you ought to take every day of your life and ask the Lord to help you live that day for him and for his sake and his alone. Help me to think the right thoughts. Help me to say the right words. Help me not to say one word today that would be an offense to someone else. Lord, give me grace about that. And when we do, we apologize, make it right, but we don't go back and beat ourselves up over it. We all make mistakes, but we also don't just say, well, forget it. They don't matter. We always think of our brother and how it affects them. Notice with me, if you would, chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Maybe someone has a struggle with something in their life. If you consider yourself strong, you ought to be a blessing to them, even if it costs you. He said, notice if you would in verse 2, let every one of us, without exception, every member from temple, please his neighbor for his good to edification. So I am supposed to do that which helps Tillman grow. I'm to be burdened about James Callimore, that he's growing in Christ. And if there's anything that I'm doing, an attitude that I have, a selection of word choices that I make, or the spirit that I say something, I need to work on that to say, Lord, I want to please you and I want to help James grow. I want to provide the right example, the right testimony. So my life is affected by the way people watch. There's a lot of people who say, I'm going to live the way I want. If you don't like it, tough. That's not scriptural. It is that if there's something you say or do to your mate that is offensive, you give it to the Lord. If there's something you say to your brother or sister that's offensive, you give it to the Lord. If there's something you do or say at work that is offensive, you say, Lord, I'll not do that. If Paul said, I'll stop eating meat the rest of my life not to offend someone, that tells you the value of Christian liberty and its usage. I will not do anything that causes harm to another Christian. I was in school, and I had a best friend that was from Philly. And I used a word that in Texas has a meaning that's it's not an issue at all. And he looked at me, and he says, what did you say that for? I said, say what? And he said, that word. He said, you know what that means? I said, no. He said, it means such. I said, I didn't mean it that way. I said, I won't ever use that word again. So I took the word out of my vocabulary and never used it again in 40 years. Because I read this passage, I knew what it meant, and it didn't give me the right and say, well, look, I don't mean it that way. Tough, you take it the way I meant it. That's what this passage is talking about. So if you have a certain spirit or attitude or tone of voice and it hurts or offends someone, if you're sarcastic, how many of you know what it means to be sarcastic? Okay? Now, sarcastic is funny many times. How many know about that? People are sarcastic to each other to be funny. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? How many know people that are sarcastically funny and they're really, 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 really funny? How many know that? Okay? But notice this, but you can be sarcastic and hurt somebody. How many have ever been hurt by someone being sarcastic? Don't raise your hand. But a Christian should say, I won't do that anymore. And there's the passage. If eating meat causes my brother to offend, I'll eat no meat while the world stands. I would remind you of this. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and acceptable to men. We're not in life to please ourselves. So tonight, I would ask you, are you trying to be a blessing to other people? If you consider yourself strong, are you willing to change to be a blessing to your neighbor? That's the only way you and I consider ourselves strong. He says here, notice back chapter 15, verse number 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. What is he trying to say? The God of heaven didn't try to please himself. So as our example, we shouldn't either. We ought to always try to be a blessing to other people, even if it costs us something. Now, folks, tonight, this passage is really about growing in the Lord and doing the little things right. I want to close. If you take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 3, I want you to see this verse. You'll know it. If you'll notice 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, we just read earlier in the message, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Well, notice chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not write unto speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal. How would you like that? Now, he doesn't necessarily say that to the Romans in the book of Romans. They were a little bit stronger in the Lord in certain areas, but the Corinthians, boy, they were really, there was some really difficulties in their life. Well, notice if you would, he goes by and he says, verse 5, 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe. So they were comparing other Christians by who led you to Christ? Well, Paul did. Who led you to Christ? Well, Apollos did. Well, you're not as good a Christian because so-and-so. And so that's what they were doing. He says, look, wait a minute. You can't judge like that. That's called carnal. So you'll notice in verse 9, he says, we are laborers together with God. That's reason in verse number 12, he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, you're building your life. Build it with gold, silver, and precious stones. That's reason teenagers, they ought to love each other. That's not normal, but it is spiritual. They ought to pray for each other. They ought to pull for each other to do well. Husbands ought to pull for other husbands to be all they can be for Christ. Wives ought to pull for other ladies that are married to be a blessing to their husbands. All of us ought to pull for each other to be more like Christ, because he says, you're not living for yourself. As Christ didn't live to please himself, don't you live to please yourself. Because one of these days, he reminded us, we'll all stand before God. And 1 Corinthians 3 is about that day. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. You know what wood, hay, and stubble is? It's the little things. It's the things that you do in Christian liberty that you ought not to do. It's whenever you could be a blessing to someone and we're not. It's when you could be kind to someone and we're not. It's whenever we express our feelings sometimes and we're not. Tonight, let's live in such a way that we grow people. I'll close. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. When you see one struggling and suffering, we don't condemn them and say, oh, they're just weak. We reach to help them. We pray for their growth. Tonight, are you that kind of a Christian that's trying to help others grow? Remember, we'll all stand before God. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Brother Scott will come and lead us. Maybe the Holy Spirit has touched your heart tonight. There's something that maybe you've done that you shouldn't have done, and you say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit touched my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? I want to do the right thing. Maybe there's something you're struggling with, but there's something in your heart, and the Holy Spirit touched your heart tonight. Would you just let me pray for you tonight? Raise your hand up all over the building. Just raise it up. Yes, yes. Hands all over. Yes, yes. I want to encourage you to yield your heart to the Lord tonight so that you can be more like Christ. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to yield our will to yours. In your name we pray. Amen.